Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of Christ, our beloved Savior. Some years ago, I found some old paper that I'd like to unfold for you. First was the older piece. It said that I was born in the flesh on February the 27th of 1956 and born again according to the Spirit of the living God on March the 4th of that same year. Let's see. That was a leap year. So you would count 2 days in February and 4 days in March. That means that I was reborn in Christ on the sixth day. The sixth day of creation, why, that's a good day to be reborn in Christ, for that's when God made man and woman. The second document was my confirmation certificate. It said that I was confirmed on the 26th of March, 1970, Palm Sunday, 14 years old. Now, many of you have similar stories, and I encourage you to also look in the closet, like I did, and see what you find. Now, we recently moved to a cabin in the woods, and I'd like to tell you that my official documents are lost in that pile. You might wonder what I could possibly know as a six-day-old child. Granted, I was probably a really bright infant, but I can assure you that I still don't know too much. So what kind of faith did I have? Nothing on my own. But I had a faith that was such as the Spirit gave me that day. Which brings us to the whole point of to be understood in baptism. When one is baptized, it is not what you bring to the baptism in terms of your understanding or faith that matters. Rather, it is what God brings to you that matters. Baptism is not something that we do, the church that we are doing for God, as if we made this rule to baptize. No, baptism is something that God himself commanded. And as such, it is about what God is doing more than what we are doing. All that we do is get wet. God does the work. What work does God do? In order to understand this, we're going to go to what St. Peter says in his first letter. He says, Christ suffered also for sins, once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. Here St. Peter compares the flood to baptism. The flood, whose work was that? Did Noah cause the flood? No. Did the other people of the earth cause the flood? Maybe only indirectly, but they certainly didn't want it. It is God who makes it rain and who causes the gates of the deep to be opened so that the dry land that God had caused to appear would disappear. This man could not do, but God did. So it is with baptism. In the baptismal water, God is applying his power to you. And St. Peter says that that power that God applies takes a particular shape. It transforms you into the form of the risen Christ. God brings you, whether you are 6 days old, a month old, 8 years, or 60 years old, into the life of Christ. Yes, he is risen. St. Paul says that he is risen for the forgiveness of sins. And because he is risen, your faith is not futile, but always powerful, life-changing, heavenly. Jesus is the righteous one, given for the unrighteous ones in order to bring you to God. So in baptism, in this water combined with God's word, God is pouring out the righteousness of Christ upon you. He takes those who are dead in trespasses and sin and makes them alive in Christ. To us, when a baptism is done here, it looks like a small flood, just a sprinkle. But God sees it as an outpouring of grace, a flood. Peter also says that the eight people of Noah's day were actually saved, and you have to pay attention to the word, through the water of the flood. Interesting, isn't it? Peter does not say that the eight were saved from the flood, but through it. How would the flood have saved Noah and his family? The water of the flood saved Noah from a different kind of flood, a flood of dissipation. At the beginning of the flood chapters, it says, "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of his heart was only evil all the time, and the Lord regretted that he had made man." Only Noah and his small group remembered God. God knew that Noah's faith would not survive in the world, that he would be also overwhelmed. For the sake of saving faith, the very world was destroyed. God would not let true faith in him disappear. In baptism, the Lord puts his name on you. He claims you as his own. That name is an invisible mark, but a mark that God always sees. God can always save his own. You are mine. He sees you as one who is standing up in Christ. For that's what the word resurrection means. It means one who stands up. That name placed on you is not like a brand. It's more like an adoption. God puts his name upon you, and in that name, you live as part of his family. As a child of God, you have an inheritance. It is a heavenly inheritance. It is an inheritance that cannot be destroyed by rust, decay, economic collapse, or by a flood. This inheritance is kept safe for you by God, and he promises that when Christ returns in glory, you will stand up to greet him as his child and heir of all things. Not by your power, but by his will, this is done by the power of the living Lord Jesus. As his child, God puts you in a safe place. For Noah, that was the ark, wasn't it? That ship that floated him over the flood. This is the reason why the place where you are now seated is called the nave. It's a word taken from the Latin word navalis, from which we get the word navy and navigation. This is the Lord's new ark, a place of refuge in a world that is still filled with dissipation. Many people have the wrong idea. They say they're spiritual but not religious, and they don't want to be tied to this old ship. They believe they can ride out the flood on a raft of their own construction. I suppose the people in Noah's day had the same idea, didn't they? But I can assure you that the Ark of Noah was surrounded not only by water, but by the debris of a fallen world. For all of the rafts that were hastily fashioned lasted a day or two, but none lasted the year that Noah was in the ark. God's ship today is also built for eternity. Here you are sustained by his word. Here you are led to green pastures and still waters. Here the soul is restored and nourished at the table of the Lord. Sins are removed and they are cast overboard. Here the resurrected life is celebrated. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.